Welcome to Don't Trust the Mirror, My Secret Life with an Eating Disorder, with psychoanalyst Maureen Kritzer-Lang, the queen of self-esteem. Maureen shares her personal journey of her struggles with an eating disorder and how that changed her life. Listen as Maureen shares her pain, her stories, and her triumphs. Today, as a psychoanalyst, her mission is to help as many women as possible overcome their challenges. Now, My Secret Life with an Eating Disorder.
Hi, this is Maureen Kritzer-Lang, the Queen of Self-Esteem. Welcome to my podcast, My Secret Life with an Eating Disorder. Welcome. I'm so glad you could join me today. I want to share a quote with you that has been particularly meaningful to me and has offered me a lot of comfort and reassurance. Talk a little bit about what it means. And as I share this with you, I hope that you can also think about what this quote means for you in your life. And I'm probably not making much sense at this point, but you will definitely understand as I talk with you more and share this beautiful quote. It's from a book called I Am That. There are always moments when one feels empty and estranged. Such moments are most desirable, for it means the soul has cast its moorings and is sailing for distant places. This is detachment, when the old is over and the new has not come. If you are afraid, the state may be distressing, but there is really nothing to be afraid of. Remember the instruction, whatever you come across, go beyond. I've been thinking a lot about transitional spaces, the transitional spaces in our life, how things change, how we have to let go of things, about loss. As Glennon Doyle on her podcast, We Can Do Hard Things, talks about from time to time, it's the space between the knowing and the doing. How have you dealt with times in your life that are transitions, where there's a time that you're out of your routine, where it feels very unsettling, where you have the anxiety and that fear of the unknown? This quote talks about detachment. A detachment for me means when there's change in our lives, when we leave places, things, and people that we have a great deal of feelings about, and how these moments can make us feel empty and estranged, just detached. But the comfort in this quote is where it says, such moments are most desirable, for it means the soul has cast its mooring and is sailing for distant places. Where are your distant places? Where are you traveling and sailing to? Where we can see it as either very scary, or we can also see it as an adventure. Now, it sometimes really fluctuates between the anxiety and the fear, or the adventure part of it. And we can look at it with excitement, or we can look at it with anxiety and fear. And in this quote, it talks about the meaning of detachment, when the old is over and the new has not come, meaning that we're not quite sure what's going to be, or we may not even recognize ourselves, where we may be in places where we have to learn to do hard things, to say hard things, but that this change for us can bring a new beginning. And it may not be easy, but it says if you are afraid, the state may be distressing, and it can really be very distressing. But it's reassuring, as it says, there is really nothing to be afraid of. Remember the instruction, whatever you come across, go beyond. So we may get stuck, we may struggle, we may have times in our life where we're quite paralyzed, yet to keep moving forward and taking it step by step. One of the other quotes that Glennon Doyle mentions that I also really like. And I feel like it really does talk about what happens in our life when we move from one place to another. And she says, it's first the pain, then the waiting, then the rising. And sometimes during times of great emotional pain and change in our lives, it is a time where we're growing, and it's a time that we're really having to dig deep and look within. And it may feel like you're walking in quicksand and just barely able to pick your feet up and take steps. And every decision is hard, even those daily decisions that all of a sudden feel quite overwhelming. But there's that waiting period where we don't know exactly what we're going to, but we will continue to have hope that it will be a better space to be in that may bring you more peace and comfort. And that's the rising, where you all of a sudden realize, yes, I can do this. Yes, I can get through this really, really tough time. And that detachment is really leading us forward. Another definition that I have found, which also talks about this transition in our life, is called liminal space. And I really didn't know what it meant when I heard it. So I looked it up, and it says it means you are in between life phases, as if you are standing in a doorway between two rooms and can't move back or forward. And it can create anxiety due to the uncertainty that we don't know what to expect, and that fear of the unknown. Now, what periods in your life can you think about where you can relate to this liminal space, this letting go and moving forward and the transition? Is it in a career? Is it a marriage, a divorce, having children? Is it going from working to a vacation or going to school in a vacation? Is it graduating from school? Is it moving? Is it, there's so many things that it could be. And these are all, you know, very practical things, but I don't think that it's always so easy to describe the emotional discomfort and also the mix of feelings that we can really have. And it can be a time where it can also be very confusing. Now, I think about my eating disorder, and this podcast is called My Secret Life with an Eating Disorder. And even though I needed help, even though I knew that I couldn't live my life feeling trapped in this horrible prison that I locked myself in, and even though there was some comfort in my symptoms because it protected me at the time from really feeling my feelings. And it was so hard to talk to people and find people who really understood what I was going through. So I sat with a lot of uncertainty, and I sat with extreme fear of giving up my eating disorder. Now, that sounds kind of crazy, right? That, of course, why would somebody want to live with this, the hunger, the binging, the purging, the physical aches and pains of it all? But I was afraid of what it would be like. And it felt like I was in this liminal space for such a long time. But as I've talked about on a previous podcast, there were those layers of recovery. So with each layer of recovery, it felt like I still had to find some way to trust myself and be in this in-between space of not even knowing what's next. And even as I'm talking to you, I think about, you know, those little moments in our day where we may eat a meal and you feel really full, and you have to sit with that. You have to sit with the waiting to see for the feeling to shift. And it may be really scary to sit with that because so many people will talk about, am I going to get fat? What's going to happen? I feel bloated. And then it eventually eases, and the feelings change. As I always say, our thoughts and feelings change. So how do we get through this space between the knowing and the doing, where we feel, again, paralyzed, anxious, fearful, but there may also be an excitement of what's ahead? So it can be this, again, this combination of many, many feelings. One of the things that I try to do is, which is really hard, by the way, it's not so easy, is to try to just think about how my body's feeling. How's my body feeling? And I talk about this a lot. And what is it telling me? What is it telling me without the words? Because it may feel great stress and great anxiety, but it doesn't know whether it's an exciting anxiety or a fearful anxiety. It can still feel the same in my body, because I think the tendency is, as we look ahead, to feel overwhelmed. I keep using that word paralyzed because that seems to be something that I can relate to often. It's sometimes just putting one step in front of the other, or one foot in front, taking it step by step and putting one foot in front of the other. I kind of mixed up my sayings there. And sometimes that's all we can do. I'm a big list maker. I love lists. I have post notes and lists all over the place for all kinds of things. And sometimes it's just a matter of what is the next thing on my list? And what's the easiest thing on my list? Because some of the hard things just feel totally insurmountable. So how do we make this transition? How do we deal with the anxiety and feeling so overwhelmed? Because at some point in this definition of liminal space, the first stage is separation. The second is the transition, which I'm talking about. And the third stage is the reintegration, which they talk about in this quote, which is really trying to cast your moorings, go forward, to keep going forward to those distant places where you will get there. It's the rising. It's the place where you will land and all of a sudden be able, not all of a sudden, really, it really is a period of time, integrate those old feelings with the new, and hopefully finding some way to sit with that comfortably. I want to read another quote that I think is really helpful and has been helpful to me throughout difficult times in my life and through my eating disorder. I didn't know about this quote when I was in the midst of the deep and the darkness of my eating disorder. But it's a quote that says, trust the process and the journey. Even when you don't understand them, the answers will reveal themselves when the time is right. So how do you have that hope and that faith to trust the process? How do you sit with surrendering to those feelings, to just be able to sit with them, to breathe? I talk a lot about breathing and the importance of that. And to just let things unfold rather than always trying to anticipate. And it can involve facing your fear, as hard as that is, rather than avoiding it. Because avoiding it, as you all probably know, and I'm sure can relate to, is that if we don't face our fears, and sometimes it takes time, it leaves us anxious and brings on all kinds of irrational thoughts. And our mind is so busy all the time making things up. So the second thing I would say is to try to use, in whatever way you can, some mindfulness meditation. And there's all kinds of meditations out there. And I tell my patients to even look at the meditations and choose one for 2 minutes, for 5 minutes, for however long. And it can be a guided meditation. I've talked a lot about those. It can be a meditation just like a body scan where you just feel what's in your body. It could just be breathing for a couple minutes. And the other thing, if you listen to me, you know it is one of my saving graces, which is journaling. And really trying to incorporate some kind of writing to express your feelings. And I mentioned Sarah Blondin before, who I really like and who talks a lot about flow writing, which I've really tried to incorporate more and more, where I have a prompt, I set a timer, and I think of it as a chapter in a book, if I was writing a book, and just write. And I'm always very surprised at where my pen will take me. And the third thing is, which I mentioned earlier, which is to try to be in the present moment, to focus on the present rather than worrying about the future, because the future is unknown and the future will unfold, and trust that process and take things step by step. And the fourth thing is to get support, to not isolate yourself. I learned early on in my eating disorder that because I felt like I couldn't talk to anybody, I had no support. My journal was my support. So I guess in some ways that was who I talked to, was my journal and my writings. But I remember feeling so alone and so desperate and so dark. And that's why I kept searching for help. But there's so many things out there now to be able to use social media in a productive way, not to get trapped in the social media dark hole and believe what's not real. But there's some things out there that can be very helpful, and it can help you feel like you're not alone. To reach out to a therapist, a friend, a family member is very important, because the longer you sit with things, it really does spin in your head. And we can get very trapped in that space between the knowing and the doing. And once you know something, and I truly believe this, it's you can't unknow it. You can't unsee it. So it will sit with you. You can put it in a little compartment, and you can put it on a shelf somewhere. Your inner knowing will always know it's there. So how do you deal with the knowing and getting to the doing part and this transitional space? I hope me sharing this with you today helps you feel not so alone and helps you identify in your life those transitional spaces, those liminal spaces where you don't know where your anxiety is from. And maybe it can help pinpoint for you where you are in this process. I would love to hear your thoughts and your feelings and your examples of your liminal space and how you travel and transition from times in your life. Please remember to trust yourself. Don't trust the mirror. And thank you for listening. And don't forget to share this with friends, family, whatever social media platform you enjoy to please share this, because you never know who might need help and who might need just somebody to help them know that they're not alone. Thank you again.
Thank you for listening to Don't Trust the Mirror, My Secret Life with an Eating Disorder, with psychoanalyst Maureen Kritzer Lang, the queen of self-esteem. We hope you enjoyed it. Please visit donttrustthemirror.com, where you'll find all our social networking links and can post your stories, comments, and questions. Until next time, remember, trust yourself. Don't trust the mirror.